Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central.
Live from the 62nd Annual Autorama at the George R. Brown Convention Center, welcome to the In Wheel Time car talk show. Just ahead, we've got another participant in this year's show. His name is Jeff, and our other Jeff is going to get the information. We just met him. That's why I'm a little late on the commercial there. I had a chance to drive the 2022 Ford Bronco Raptor, and I'll give you my thoughts on that. We'll also have the cruise-in calendar, and later we'll have This Week in Auto History. I think we've got that, don't we?
Yep, we do.
Okay, all right. It's just ahead here on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show, coming to you live today from Autorama, George R. Brown, downtown Houston, Texas. It's our once-a-year Thanksgiving weekend extravaganza, and we're so honored to be here. Howdy, along with Mike Out of This World Mars. We need more Jeff Zekin and our chief engineer, David Ainsley. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad that you could join us today. It's quite a day. We got here. I don't know how we got here this morning.
We floated in
this morning.
Pontoon boat.
And we got here, and I think that the rain is moving out, and it's supposed to be a beautiful day here in Houston, Texas. I think the high temperature is supposed to be something like 70 with sunshine. It's
good.
About time we need that.
We do.
And so it's going to be a great day to get out and enjoy this wonderful show. It truly is. I mean, I walked in, I'm thinking, my gosh, man, there's not an empty place in here. Every slot is filled with cars, really cool ones. I keep talking about this 62 Corvette that's next to us here, and I'm not typically a 62 Corvette big fan, but this car that's right next to us here, man.
There's only one other one in here.
61 or 62 in front of us?
That is one sweet ride here. It's a resto mod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The body looks all stock.
That's okay.
That's about all the thing that's stock on it.
Yep.
So, Jeff, I know that you gave me your last name right in the middle of me trying to punch commercials on and all that.
This is Nick Chapon.
Chapon,
right? Nick,
yeah. You can put that microphone right up here. Just like the telephone operator that you always wanted to be.
There you go.
So, Nick, tell us about yourself and what you brought here to the show today.
Yeah, I own Nick's Auto Repair and Classic Car Restoration in Montgomery, Texas.
Oh, so you are the culprit. I've seen several of your cars in here.
Yeah, they're all right on the other
side. I've got eight of them,
You got eight cars in here.
Yes, customer cars, but yes.
Well, of course, because that's what you do.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Nick, how long have you been in business up there in Montgomery, Texas?
We've been in business up there about 12 years, and I've been a mechanic all my life, been working on cars my whole life, and we started about 12 years ago, 2010. We've grown, and we do classic car restoration, classic car auto repair in general, and collision service.
Really? Mm-hmm. You got everything going for you
there. All three.
Do you have a separate special place over there in the back of the lot that you've got the old classic car garage?
Well, we've got separate buildings for collision, separate buildings for restoration, and a separate location for auto repair.
I got you. And it's all in Montgomery.
It's all in Montgomery.
Well, you know, that's probably the hottest area around these parts. It's growing leaps and bounds.
It is. There's an amazing amount of antique and classic cars out in that area also.
Yeah, and a lot of shops, too.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. How did that happen? Did it all just kind of come together that way?
Yeah, it started out. It was going to be a hobby for me as a retirement. And it grew.
Yeah.
That was a great idea.
Well, so much for retirement.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
So what did you bring here? Let's go over the list of cars that you got here.
Well, we've got a couple of late model Camaros that we've supercharged and made better.
Oh, late model.
Yeah, we got a couple of those. We've got a 70 Chevelle. We've got a 65 Daytona. We've got two Impalas. We've got a 62 Impala and a 65 Impala. And then our premier car is the little blue 67
Do
Mustang
any of the Impalas have 20-inch blades on them?
No. That's a different section of the building altogether.
Okay. you can relate. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Some reason I know you're going to go there.
Did you know that? I was trying to work it into the Impala thing. Ball and a shot call.
There you
That's
go.
That's right.
But at any rate, so, and what do you got in the shop currently? Oh, nothing, because they're all here.
No, we've got hundreds of cars in the shop.
Do you really?
Hundreds?
About 170 cars at our shop right now. And
across all the
across all the different
areas. Collision and repair. And
so the Looney Tunes bus brought you here this morning.
Yeah, exactly. It's a yellow one right there.
Yeah. We know the owner of that one.
Well, it's truly remarkable. So you said that you actually worked for some dealerships before you got into your own business?
I did. I worked at GMC and a Toyota dealership for a few years, and then I actually taught mechanics at a college how to work on cars, and then got out of the industry altogether for about 20 years, and then I came back in a retirement to restore a few cars and do a little bit of auto repair work for my neighbors, and it just exploded.
12 years later, boom.
12 years later,
how many people you got working for you?
Right now we're at, I believe, 19.
Wow.
Just that will keep you busy.
It does.
No doubt about it. Well, where are you in Montgomery?
We've got a location on Honey Egypt Road just south of 2854 and a location on FM 2854 right there at the Montgomery-Conroe line.
So you kind of scattered out a little bit.
They're 4 miles apart from each other. So it's a small commute.
Do you live out there too, I hope?
I do. I live actually on the property with the shop on Honey Egypt.
Like they seem to be a common theme.
It is, it is.
With folks that have their businesses like that.
Yeah. That's saves gas and it's a quick walk to work.
Do you have any cars of your own?
I've got the black ZL1 Camaro over there that is my wife's car, and I've got a 72 Chevelle that I own, and a 27 T-Bucket.
Very nice.
And currently there's one in production, 56 F-100.
Can you name all 170?
No.
Okay.
Get on.
But the customers think that I can when they call.
We're working on that one right now.
Don, let me look. I got
just
four Dons in here.
Rolled it into the shop. That's it. Yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah.
What is the most complicated car that you've worked on?
We've had Lamborghinis, we've had R8s.
That's interesting. You bring that's the first one up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What makes that so complicated?
Just the rarity of the components of the car. They're not your typical,
They're not
Honda.
Built. Right, exactly. They're not built in the same way a regular car.
You can't call O'Reilly to get a replacement part.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus I would think the information of knowing what those parts are. I mean, unless you work on them pretty regularly.
Yeah. We don't work on them regularly. We get maybe a couple Lamborghinis and a couple Ferraris a year.
Do you have one guy that specializes in those kind of cars?
That would be me.
That would be you. Yeah.
And Google's
your friend? I would be pulling my hair out.
Best friend.
That's what brought him out of retirement was the – yeah.
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 What is the funnest car that you've ever – done?
I like the Tri-5s.
Do you really?
Yeah, the Tri-5s.
Why? Because they're easy to work on?
No, they just, I don't know, they always seem to come out nice.
They appeal to you.
They appeal. They've got nice body lines. The paint lays down nice on them. The reflections off them are nice. And they're just spacey cars.
Yeah. Do you find that that the particular cars that you work on, Do they come to you in fairly good shape?
We've had them come in all different
rust buckets, no floors in them, and things like that. Really,
yeah, exactly.
Those are the ones that I'm going. No, I'm out. And you say bring them on.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
So you end up with some of those projects that take a year or two to build.
Yeah, the longest one we've had so far was a 3-year build, which was the little blue Mustang that's up front.
So when is your television show coming out?
Well, I keep getting asked that question. Not quite sure. Haven't been approached yet.
Oh.
So, in time.
We know people.
Yeah. In time.
Yeah. David. You can see what it's done for us.
Yes.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, talking to Bad Chad, I mean, and I told these guys from what I know and what I, because I've been in the business a long time, those reality shows seem to be like lots of fun and easy to do, but it takes up so much shop time.
It does.
And it can be a real challenge. And a lot of the guys that have done it and that are no longer doing it for broadcast television, they all have the same saying. It's like, hey, man, this is too much time spent on the TV side as opposed to my business.
Right.
It takes away from my business. And like Bad Chat said, was got almost 200,000 followers on YouTube. Just and that's where he's making all of his money.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah,
it's a consideration.
It is. Yeah. Just go right to YouTube. Yeah. You know, we're waiting for our third or fourth viewer on YouTube.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to start somewhere.
They're coming in by the tens. I mean, we're really
for a small fee, I'll follow.
we're approaching some of the federal prisons. And, we'll get that audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is a car that you have not done that you'd like to get a hold of?
That's a good question.
Would you go for something that would be a real challenge
like
for you?
Like a dream build.
A dream build, yeah.
I honestly can't think of a car that I haven't done.
Now, when you do these cars, are there different levels of restoration? I mean, you got the show car stuff, and then you got something like I used to have a 66 Corvair that a friend of mine did, not too far from you, out there at Sweet Rides. Okay. Do you know Randy?
I don't.
Okay. Yeah. He did a great job. It took almost a year to do, and but it wasn't – I wouldn't consider it a show car, but it sure did look like that on the outside. But, you know, between him and another friend of mine that did the interior and a little help from these different folks along the way, we managed to get it in here, and it was decent enough to show in a show like this. Do you have that level of restoration as well?
It seems that every job creates its own level of restoration. I mean, some people want the interiors done. Some people want the engine. Some people want everything. Some people want new suspensions, upgrades, you know, Pro Tour their cars, you know, Resto Mod. Every project seems to develop its own level of a restoration. Yep. And we can only make the cars as nice as we're being paid to do.
Right.
So,
sure.
You know, we get a guy comes in and wants a paint job and does not want to put new trim on it. You know,
then you get what you pay for.
Then people judge my paint job and, you know, based on the old trim, not the quality.
Yeah, they look at it
paint.
And say, oh, he built that?
Exactly.
So how that brings to the point, how often do you have to call someone back and say, I need more money or time because we found this issue
every time
with rust or parts or
every
something.
Like working
time.
On a house. There's always something.
Once you take the paint off, what's under the paint's what you find, and then you got to call the customer back, have them come out and look at it and readjust the timeline
the as well as what they're wanting out of the vehicle.
Yeah. Well, I know that 66 Corvair that I had, it had rust issues around the windshield trim. And the same thing in the back. Mm-hmm. I bought a cowl panel. They tacked that in there. But the rest of the car was pretty solid. It was a Houston, Texas car. It really never left the area. So it didn't have lots of rust issues on it.
Yeah.
It had a few whiskey dents in it and things like that. But we didn't have a lot of rust issues. And we knew that going in. And I'm grateful for that, that at least we had that going for us. But still, I mean, It was a $35,000 restoration just at that level, just as a driver. The paint job was beautiful.
Must have been pre-COVID.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
Because you double or triple that now.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Materials, parts, everything's gone up.
Well, because of the lack of.
Lack of, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow. So, look, we've talked about resto mods and all that. Your classic car restoration, do you actually do – does anybody ever bring you, like, a 32 Ford and say, I want this restored, like Henry built it?
I've got two over there now that are restored cars. I've got a 65 Mustang that is a high-scoring, perfectly restored car, and we've got a 62 Impala that is a restored car. But we don't get a lot of that. Most people want to upgrade to – disc brakes and better suspension.
Kind of resto-mod-y.
Add on ACs, front runner kits, things of that nature. So we get a lot of, you know, Pro Tour or modified restos.
Are you getting hung up with things that, you know, you can't get parts for?
Oh, yeah.
You are.
Wow. That's why I have so many cars on my lot.
I guess
right
that's why you said COVID or pre-COVID.
Yeah.
What is the biggest hang up for your rest of
electronics? Things that operate off electronics, like the Dakota Digital kits, the Vintage Air kits, Classic Air kits. Those all have microchips in them. We've seen 16 to 48 week back orders.
Wow.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
You can't make any money that way.
No, but we can store a lot of cars.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you got the room for it.
Yeah.
Do you have somebody come in and say, hey, look, it's going to take a year and a half for us to get this finished. Let me just go ahead and take the car and bring it back to you when you get the parts?
We have some that we send home with the customers. Depends on the scope of the work. If we're doing body work and rust repair and fab, metal work and things like that, we'll just keep the car and store it through its duration and then get it finished up.
You have repeat customers?
Yes.
How many?
Very cool.
I don't know. I've never counted.
170.
Pretty much all of them. I mean, as far as I know, I don't think I have any customers out there that dislike us any. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously.
Have you checked Yelp?
Well, we're 4.99. So.
Oh, you have checked Yelp.
Well, yeah, Yelp, Google, and SureCritic and all that. So we're pretty highly rated out there.
Very good.
So you get those customers that they take it down the road, be it a restaurant or a driver, mm-hmm. grocery getter, and they got to come back because they've got chips and scratches and mm-hmm. dents to redo. So you obviously have all the paint codes and yep. the custom mixes. And
we always send the customer home with a little bit of leftover paint, and we ask them to store it and keep it available. And when they come back in with a rock chip or, a broom fell into their car or whatever, we
kids
have the correct
bicycle
paint.
Handlebars or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, and then we have the correct paint. Plus, we always store the paint codes in our paint system so we can remix the paint.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Interesting. So you actually mix your paint?
We do.
On site?
Yeah, we have two paint systems. We have two paint booths, and we mix paint at each location.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What do you drive as a daily driver?
A truck.
What?
GMC Denali truck.
Yeah?
Yeah, one ton.
Yep. A one ton?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And the reason for the one ton is?
Trailering.
Towing.
Towing. Trailering.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do for fun? Do you golf?
Hang
out at the beach?
Yeah, golf, bass fish, when I have the 30 minutes to spare here and there.
And do you think that you're going to get business out of all of your appearances here? With the different cars that you brought to the show?
We've been doing Autorama for probably about 10 years now. And we
haven't met you.
I know.
Why is that?
I fly under the radar.
Yeah, well, now you've been caught.
Yeah, you're done.
With the big banner hanging from the ceiling, that's kind of hard to do this year.
It is, yeah. This year I went big. I usually bring 10, 12 cars a year here, and the customers get to look at our work, which is a big plus because it's not just talk. When they can see the work that you've done. We usually pick up anywhere from 4 to 8 jobs a year, for restoration, just for being here. And I've had customers show up to 3 years later, saying that they met me 4 years ago at Autorama. And
yeah, remember me?
Yeah, exactly. And, then they bring their car in at that point. Maybe they've been saving up for the restoration.
So are the cars you brought – for your they belong to your customers. Mm-hmm. Are they being judged, or are you just strictly okay?
Yeah, they're all
so being judged. Some of them could actually get awards and mm-hmm. stuff by this too. So that would be nice.
Oh yeah, we usually do pretty well.
Very good.
Right now, today, what is the number one modification or restoration kind of project that you have, and what would be an average? It's really hard to. I know this is going to be tough. What would be an average price of? I want to come in. I'm going to bring my car in, and I want to have X done to my car. What would that X be?
You talk about the most popular.
I want to put a supercharger on my Corvette. I want to put vintage air in my 55 Chevrolet.
The most common thing we get. In that category would be fuel injection conversions.
Yep.
We do a lot of fast fuel injection conversions from fast. And we probably do on an average of maybe 20 of those a year.
How much does something like that cost from, say, a small block Chevy mm-hmm. that had maybe a 2-barrel, maybe a 4-barrel carburetor on it?
A little
nothing
poly.
Fancy, not a race car, anything bumper. Like that. How much would something like that cost?
Usually between 4,000 and 9,000, depends on the engine type and the system we're putting in. Usually a system will come with a new gas tank with the baffled tank for the fuel injection, the kit itself, the fuel lines, the filters, the pressure sensors, the the electronics, all the wiring, the install. It varies between $4,000 or $5,000 up to $9,000 or $10,000.
So it's not just a matter of taking the carburetor off and putting the fuel injection.
You wish.
Yeah. No, not at my shop. We do the full.
In his city, they
we do the full thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know when somebody said to me, "Well, you know, you need to get rid of that carburetor on the Corvair," and I thought, "Okay, so what am I going to do? It's got two carburetors on it. Yeah. How would I go about that?" Well, they make that conversion kit, but they don't think about the lines.
Yeah, from the fuel system, from the fuel tank, all the way up to the system, to where you can put it in.
Well, it sounds to me like the majority of it is labor. Because if you're running the lines, you're dropping the old tank, you've got to, you know, remove and replace parts and things. So that I would think that a lot of
there's,
it is labor.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of labor involved. You have to wire in a new tank. You have to use an in-tank pump. So you have to run circuits back for that. You're replacing all the fuel lines with high-pressure hose, putting a fuel regulator in, pressure sensors, and all the wiring under the hood for the throttle body. And then you got to mount the computer. We usually, on our installs, we'll make, you know, custom brackets to mount the computer up in the dash and make it look real clean. We try to integrate the wiring into the existing harnesses so that it looks natural. So we go a little further than most shops. A lot of shops will just install them, hook up the connections, and, you know, use the existing fuel tank.
Right.
But we don't do that.
Okay.
And that's what you'd suggest is do it the right way. If you're going to do it, spend the extra money and
do it
the right way.
That's correct.
Yes. From a old car guy, trust me, I've been down the cheap route, and it never, ever works.
It's always more expensive.
Plus, you put your name on it when it leaves the shop, and you don't want to have a comeback. Or you don't want to have them saying, well, yeah, they didn't do it right because they didn't do this, this, and this. So.
What's the reliability factor on something like that? Is it pretty reliable?
Very reliable.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, with the fuel injection conversion, I mean, you're starting the car up and it's ready to drive. You don't have to warm it up. You don't have to pump the pedal. You don't have to wait for a choke to open. So it's very reliable.
And that's the reason people would do that is because they want the drivability. So it's not really something you might want to do to a show car. If I wanted to go, if I wanted to take that 62 Corvette there and I want to drive it. Yeah. I want to drive it every day.
Fuel injection.
And I want it reliable.
Absolutely. And you're always going to have the right fuel to air ratio, you know, because it's monitored by an oxygen sensor. So you don't have a, you know, under or over jetted carburetor, wasting fuel, things like that. So you always get the right fuel ratio.
So you smell it when you walk by at an idle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, in your case, you'd be smelling the rubber in the wheel wells because you'd be burning it off.
But that's the whole idea of you taking and doing it from the tank all the way through the whole system, every piece of it. And I never really thought about that, but you're basically replacing the whole fuel system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got a website?
I do. It's nicksautorestoration.com.
It's up there in the sign.
It is.
Autorestoration.com. Well, I know, but, you know, the people that are listening to the show.
I know. Well, just come down all around and you can see the sign.
That's right.
There you go.
And we're giving an iPad away today.
Wow, great.
Really? Can we sign up for that?
Sure can. Right over there at the table.
What are the chances?
Like, we need more equipment.
We need more stuff.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you stopping
thanks
by.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hope to see you again
soon.
Come by
and take a look at your stuff here.
Yeah, more than welcome.
I'd like to remind everybody, if you'd like to get in touch with us, shoot us an email. The address is info@inwheeltime.com. It's always good to have guys like him stop by and
absolutely
pick their brains and figure out where they came from and what they do and that sort of thing. All right, time now for this hour's car review. Had a chance to drive the 2022 Ford Bronco, and I had the Raptor version. This is the four-door Bronco. And it's all new for 2022. It comes in these trim levels, the Bronco does. The base, the Big Bend, the Black Diamond, the Outer Banks, the Badlands, the Wild Track, the Everglades, and the Raptor. Remember I mentioned to you before that more and more manufacturers are coming up with packaged options. And it really works out well because if you take the individual things that you want in off of the options list and you buy them one by one, it's going to cost you a bunch more. So package it up, and I'll take the Outer Banks in this particular case, I took the Raptor. It's a standard SUV, according to your government. That's the way they categorize it. It's four passengers and one driver, so five all total. The exterior changes from last year. It's all new. Fender flares help make the Raptor 9.8 inches wider than the standard four-door Bronco. 17-inch beadlock rims, huge tires. The body shape design harkens back to the 60s original, yet on a much larger scale. The front skid plate looks good and is part of the look of the Raptor. What I liked about it, the removable doors and roof. What could use improvement? Well,
bigger wheels.
I'm sure that there will be aftermarket catalogs in all of the customizable trinkets that you could ever want, but this thing's already got them from the factory. I don't know why you'd want to spend any more money. Interior highlights include a horizontal dash design containing a built-in 12-inch information screen. Weatherproof surfaces abound throughout the cabin. Awesome design that's well thought out and state-of-the-art materials. This is high-end. This is not like the 1960s Bronco at all. If you've ever seen a 60s Bronco, it is very sparse and metal dash, and it's just, it's not anything like this one, I can tell you that. They've used the name, that's about all. What I liked about it, fun and purposeful design elements. What could use improvement? I don't know. Nothing as far as I'm concerned. And here's where the money is. 3.0-liter twin-turbocharged V6. That cranks out 400 horsepower and 415 pound-feet of torque through a 10-speed automatic transmission. It'll tow up to 3,500 pounds.
Wow.
Miles per gallon, according to the window sticker, 15 in the city, 16 on the highway for a combined of 15. I got 15.8, over 236.4 miles. What I liked, instant power on. What could use improvement? Okay, I'll dream up something. V8 race engine with 700 horsepower.
And tub it out.
Tub it out. It already is, I think. Four-wheel drive is standard on all the models. What I liked, Fox Shocks, high-performance off-road stability system, what they call HOS. What can you use improvement? Nothing. This is a factory desert runner. The chassis on this is 50% stronger than the regular model. Base trim price, $68,500. Prices tested, $81,085. Now, if you just want to get into a stripped-down, if there is such a thing, a stripped-down Bronco, $31,300. The Jeep Wrangler goes for $29,995. Toyota 4Runner, $41,935. And the Chevy Colorado, I had to come up with something to compete against it, $44,200. Man, I'm telling you. You saw it.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. I did not see that one.
You did not?
I did not see that
one. Oh, it was in the dark when I saw you that night. Sorry. Yeah, it was. It had a beautiful paint job on it. It was called Onyx Blue. And leather trim suede seats. Top notch all the way. What a beautiful vehicle. And thank you for Ford for letting me have it. Ken Peabody gave me a call and says, hey, Don, I've got the Ford Bronco Raptor. You want it? Yes, was the answer to that.
Let me think about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we got it. All right. The In Wheel Time Car Show streams on the iHeartRadio app and Facebook, YouTube, and InWheelTime.com. 30-minute podcasts are available from your favorite podcast provider. In Wheel Time Car Talk Show continues right after this quick break.
Starting to work on your Christmas calendar? Be sure to add the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise in Saturday, December 17th. You'll want to attend Tailpipes and Tacos Christmas Edition at the Loopy Tortilla in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. It's the only place cruisers compete for Loopy's Chili Pepper trophies and other prizes. There's no charge to enter your vehicle for Best Hot Rod, Best Classic, or Best Modern Classic. Tailpipes and Tacos is Houston's coolest and most unique cruise-in and is your opportunity to see the best hot rods, show cars, classics, and resto mods. And get Loopy Tortilla breakfast tacos with adult beverages. There's no entry fee and cars will automatically compete for those much sought-after custom Loopy trophies and other prizes. It happens at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. It's the Tailpipes and Tacos Christmas Edition, Saturday, December 17th. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show will be there too. Celebrate the Christmas season with friends and family at Tailpipes and Tacos. Saturday morning, December 17th, 8 to 11. We'll see you then, weather permitting.
Hey, Houston, America's greatest hot rod tradition is back. Thanksgiving weekend, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Autorama at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Four action-packed days of hot rods, customs, classics, trucks, performance cars, and live music. Do not miss the Ultimate Lowrider Showcase, sponsored by Shorty's Hydraulics and the Traditional Rod Garage. Saturday only, it's the Tuner Galleria with 250 imports, JDM, and luxury cars, plus music and models. On the celebrity stage, presented by Nick's Auto Repair and Classic Car Restoration, meet Bad Chad and wife Jolene from Bad Chad Customs on Friday. Saturday, it's Dave Kindig from TV's Bitchin' Rise. Sunday, it's Danny Coker and Kevin Mack from TV's Counting Cars. Shop the Swap Meet and Women's World all weekend. The O'Reilly Auto Parts Autorama. This weekend at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Discount tickets at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Part of the Summer Racing Equipment Show Car Series. See Autorama.com for more info.
That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartPodcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.